Hello.
Good afternoon. Hi, this is Rob. Who's on, please?
You got the whole team.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome.
Flying Wealth Management, Brian Huckett, Dennis Packard.
Laura Payne.
Everyone.
Darlene Neisel, Debbie Stanley.
Wow. All right, so let's start. Who's going to be your spokesperson?
Go for it. I don't know.
I will be, Brian.
Okay, Brian.
First thing
I always ask is what's on your mind? How was your week?
Thanks for asking. It was pretty good. We spent time with our two largest by far clients, and you know, I think it was time well spent. Spent time Tuesday with another ideal client, and brought in another Dennis Packard. Brought in another $800,000 to that relationship, bringing it from I think about 1.3 to 2.1. Our target minimum, I think we discussed was 1 million, that being the average of our top 200 relationships. So I think overall it's been a pretty darn good week. I'm feeling grateful today.
Well, that's good. That's good. We always should feel grateful, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Relationship pledged another, $5 million they're bringing in by April. So it's been a pretty good week.
It sounds really good. So how did you guys do year over year in terms of asset growth and production growth?
Well, that's a number that we should know.
No, I got it. Yeah, I got it right here. Hold on.
Kenneth, maybe you should be the spokesman. I don't know much about anything.
Let me pull the numbers up. So we ended 2017 at $270 million. We started 2017 at, or we ended 2016 at $207 million, and finished 2015 at $182 million. So there's the past few years. But more than that.
Great. No, that's great.
And our, you know, our average, just to make it easy, if you went across the board, our average basis point ends up about, you know, the top two, again, kind of skew it, because we do a blended scale, so they go quite a bit lower, maybe about 80 to 85 basis points.
Okay.
And this does not or does include 401k?
No.
This is only individual wealth management business, Rob.
Okay. In terms of assets, too, or?
In terms of assets, right.
Okay.
The 401k is another, what did we decide, 7.5? No.
Four.
It's 9, another 9.
Okay.
Building
an average of 40? 50. Yeah. Okay. 401k and at 50 basis points. Okay. So, well, good. Great. That's a nice growth rate. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That was a good year.
Yeah, it's a good year, and you know, I see a lot of different teams, and frankly, most of them aren't growing at that kind of rate, so that's really good. So the game becomes, you know, challenging when you're already doing well to do better, right? To do even better. And for me, you know, how do I then help you to even be better than that? So I want to, I'm going to, but the question is, you guys have got to, you know, constantly be telling me where the gaps are. You know, where, where can I help you as we go through this? Because getting you up and running in Supernova is, you know, it's not that difficult to do. It may seem difficult now, but it's not. The hardest thing is changing and making yourselves more efficient on the acquisition side of things.
Right.
So, you know, that's the other changes are more, they're very rational. And so you don't really struggle with that as much. It just makes common sense, you know, even though it isn't. You know, other people don't do it, but once you get to understand it and why it makes sense, it'll seem pretty obvious. And then it becomes quite ritualized. The acquisition part of it is less, is involves more fear, and therefore becomes more difficult to ritualize. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So in terms of, we talked about establishing minimums. So we are 1 million, and the second number, the target number, did you work on that, or are you comfortable with that, or?
We did. I mean, if you look at, kind of go through the, like, the top 200, if you just do like average revenue, it would be about 750 to 8 would be the, you know, the minimum. If you look at where we are, you know, if you go down to the 170th client, you know, that's at, let me go back to this here. You know, the 200th client is actually at 250,000. So, you know, my way was, do we make it 750 or do we do it like bare minimum of 500 and just drop off, you know, some of these lower ones as we go?
I'd rather see you stretch your goal so that you don't, I mean, we're always trying to go as low as we can, and it's not always the right thing to do. So I always try and stretch you. So okay. My stretch goal would be not 750, but go up to 1 million.
Right.
As a minimum. And then target minimum, top 20% of your practice. It's probably 2.5 million, did we say? What is that?
It is the top 50.
Where do we get to the target? We did establish, I guess, an average of about 3 million.
We got to pick up the top two at 2.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You did that much?
Yeah.
Top 50, taking out the top two, which are really big relationships. I don't know if we should take them out or not. It'd be nice to have only
one
of those, but... You know, I get worried if I lose the two top relationships. We have confidentiality, I would assume. So the two top relationships are a family named the Strikers and a family named the Thompsons. And if we lose those, that's one thing that keeps me awake at night. You know, if we get rid of all these little ones and then we lose our two top ones, then where? How far back did we go?
Mm-hmm. So how much are they? What's the assets in those?
15 and 33. Probably 35, so probably a total of about 50 million.
Yep.
I mean, it's a big chunk of our business.
Right. I would, just for the purposes of this exercise, leave them off. And then what's that number then?
It would be...
We're calculating it.
Two million, right on the dot.
Okay. So that makes it really easy for you guys in terms of, I mean, this is psychologically the hardest thing, is to get comfortable with those changes and say, okay, our minimum is $2 million, but we'll take a client above $1 million. But frankly, we won't take a client less than $1 million.
I don't even think anyone here is ready to do that. Somehow,
yeah,
that's that bridge that you get people over. And I'm telling you, no one
at the
table is committed to that right now.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
and you got,
too. I mean, remember when we first started doing any minimum, we said it was going to be 400, and we were like, oh, God, that sucks. You know, and that was tough to do, to not take something less than 4. And now, you know, really, I know we don't want to do that. Unless they had a ton of money every, you know, they're 30 years old and added $100,000 a year. But, so that was tough. But this is tougher, to be honest.
No, I understand. I mean, I worked with a team in 2001, and they had $1 million minimum, and now they're, now they have got a, you know, it's 2018 now. Think about it, right? And their minimum is $10 million. Okay?
Wow.
Now, yeah, so it's their absolute minimum is 7.5. And their target is 10. And so we have to figure out where to put clients that are referred to them that have 5 million. You All think, right. Okay, you think you got problems, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Well, seriously, I mean, that's what you do. You're making some of the best friends you'll ever make in your life. Because you're referring business to people in your organization with, you know, $5 million. So they're very popular. So is $1 million too much? Probably not, but try and digest it and think about it and think about it what it means. I mean, one of the things that's important for you to understand is that you guys have, you're not the same people you were, right? And you've studied, you've learned, you've taken classes, you're, you know, all these registrations, done estate planning, financial planning. And what real value are you to somebody that doesn't need you, you know? Meaning they can just put the money in an index fund and do fine. They don't need complicated consulting. So what's the problem with that is that you think you're not at risk on the $50 million clients or $25 million clients. They desperately need you. The ones that don't need you are the $500,000 clients or the $750,000 clients or even the $1 million clients that just take it and plunk it down an index fund and goodbye, you know. Because they don't need, you know, it's not complicated charitable giving and creating family foundations and dynasty trusts and what do we do with this and that.
Right.
So to me, you know, you want to think of yourself as kind of, you were in general practice. And now you're creating a concierge physician's practice or a concierge financial practice. And so you're going to start charging an appropriate amount of money, 850. You know, you're going to charge 10, at least 85 basis points on $1 million, right? So that's your minimum charge to $8,500. And that's what it takes to become a member of the practice. Are you familiar with concierge physicians?
Yes.
Okay. Have I talked to you about this?
I actually have one. I mean, he's on call all the time, and he gives me an annual physical that's like going through hell. And
right. How much does he charge you?
$2,000 a year, I think.
That's pretty good. Mine charges me $7,500. Okay.
Wow.
Same thing. And I pay it. So that just shows you, you know, what the market will bear, right?
Right. Right.
So I live in Florida half the year, so I only use it for 6 months. So it's kind of crazy, but you know,
I live in India rest of the year.
Yeah, I live in Indy half the year. Yeah.
Good. All right.
Anyway, so my point is if I came to him and said, look, you know, I only live half the year in Indianapolis, and can I just pay you $5,000? See? He'd say, you know, Rob, I only have, you know, spots for 200, and I'm full, and if you can't pay it, I love you, but bye.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah. No, I think that's right.
And so that's kind of the mentality you have to get through. First of all, you have to, your minimums, you know, are economic. They're financial because of the, you know, we do a math game to figure out what your absolute minimum should be and then your target minimum. But your real minimum is based on how you feel about yourself. You know, it really is, what do you think you're worth? How much do you think you should be worth in the market? And your confidence that the market will pay it. Well, so far the market's paid it. And, you know, with Supernova, you create a concierge kind of position, practice. So to me, you know, it's the time to cross the invisible bridge and step up. Really make it something you're proud of, and you don't hesitate to charge. What it also does is it differentiates you in the market. You know, I give a speech on how to differentiate yourself in the market. And one of the ways is by charging a premium price. It indicates that you must be better than the market. You must be better than everybody else because you charge more. So people are curious, what else, you know, because you're always telling people you're better, right?
Right.
And so you're just charging based on what you actually do. And so I think that's the part you got to kind of convince yourself. Whenever you run into a new idea, watch your mind go through these hoops. There's five different stages of acceptance, which is curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. So you were first curious about Supernova, and you had to learn something about it. Curiosity, interest, so you developed an interest in it. And then you read the book, so now you've got some knowledge, and now you're learning it from me. You'll soon come to the belief stage, and once you get past the belief stage and you really believe it and you see the results and you realize the clients love it, then you'll be in the enthusiasm stage. And once you get to enthusiasm, frankly, you can sell anything. You have to get to that stage, though, before you can really sell it.
Right.
You can, and that's when you really own it. So that means any idea. So remember, your clients are going to go through the same thing. Now, remember this. When you are enthusiastic, they will be enthusiastic. If you're not enthusiastic, they won't be. So a lot of what we do is to put you in a position where what you're doing is very different from what other people are doing. So we want to differentiate ourselves, differentiate everything that we do. So when we give service, when we call people, we You want it all to be very different than anything they've seen in the past. When you go, you know, if you go into a coffee shop, you know, you go into Starbucks the first time, you're kind of blown away by how different it is than you guys are too young probably to even remember going to get a cup of coffee. But you used to go in and, you know, pay 20, 10 cents, 15, 20 cents and get a cup of coffee. And it would just be a cup of coffee out of the pot.
Right.
Now it's a production. You know, now it's a show. Right? It's a big show. Well, you got to create a bit of a show for your clients so that they see that this is, wow, this is different. And they like it. You know, in the end, you got to like the coffee. And they will like it. But they don't know what it is until they see it and taste it. So part of what we're going to be doing is getting them to try it. Because some will be very happy to spend more time with you. And they'll be like, oh, this is great. 12-4-2? I can't wait. This is great. Others will say, no, I don't need that much. You know, I only, you know, call me quarterly or what you're doing now is fine. And you're going to be tempted to say, okay. But you can't. You've got to say, you know what? This is the reaction that I get initially from a lot of people. But what they found was that it's just kind of like when you went up to first class for the first time in an airplane, didn't really know what to expect. You sat down in the big seat, got the linen, the tablecloth, you know, you had a nice meal, had a movie, you know, beautiful experience. From then on, you didn't want to go back to coach. So what we'd like to do is demonstrate what first class feels like. And then if, in fact, you'd like to, we'll, you know, if you don't like that, then we'll help you back to coach. And then they always laugh and go, no, okay, I'll try it. So you want to do that. Then when they get excited about it and they like it, then you'll like it. You'll like it even more. So that's why we hand out folders rather than do it electronically. We want to give them something.
Right.
And some people give them a two-hole punch because these are medical folders and nobody has a two-hole punch. So if you give them one, wrap it up, you know, make it a nice little present, hand it to them, they'll be like, what's this? Well, it's a, you know, show them. They open it up. Oh, that's nice. Two-hole punch. What's that? Oh, it's for the medical folder. You know, their comment will be, you've thought of everything. And what they're really saying is, you've thought of everything, so I don't have to think about anything. And this will be really good. So then you're in a position to get a wow from them, which is what you're after. Then you send them an agenda and an executive summary. You'll really wow them. And you'll be better off for it. You'll have a better experience as a financial advisor. They will open up, I liken it to a rose opening up. You know, we have a bunch of roses in a vase and they're all kind of closed. And then what we do is we do 12-4-2 and each one opens up a little bit and they give you more and more and more information. And this is really consistent across the board. Everybody tells me the same thing. So even if you know your clients really, really well, they're still going to disclose more than they did. And they'll give you more money and they'll refer more to you because you're giving them your time and your intellect. And they want to pay you back for that. So, anyway, that's too much talking on my part. But any questions on that, crossing the bridge to a minimum and crossing the bridge to this higher level of service?
It's Brian. I just kind of want to rather than this being really theoretical and everything, I sort of feel like I need to voice some things and make sure that you
sure.
understand who we are, where we are, who our clients are. And then I don't think, I mean, I've got the highest of hopes, and your book and everything you say makes a lot of sense to me, Rob. But I think that all the growth that we've had and the success has come through a team effort. I get told that all the time.
Right.
And I could be wrong, but I don't think there's any buy-in at this table about what Rob's talking about. And what I mean by that is, and I'd love for you guys to speak up, but what I mean by that is, how can we get out of what we're doing on a day-to-day basis now and really step into the world that Rob Knapp is describing? Love for y'all to speak up, but where I'm coming from is, Rob, this is Brian talking. I don't fly first class. I've flown first class before. I don't really, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really matter to me that much. I go back and forth from Oklahoma to Florida on the Southwest bus, and I'm totally cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't know if we have any clients. I don't know if we have any clients that fly first class, and I don't know if very many of them care to fly first class. And I know it's just an analogy, but maybe we need a different analogy to get into the world that you're trying to get us to go to. It's almost like we just accidentally, it wasn't accidental, but this team is what's made all the success happen, and I really, could I, am I wrong? I mean, I don't see us just jumping over the bridge right now together. I don't even see myself jumping over the bridge, y'all.
For what? What do you mean?
To kick everyone off that doesn't want to be on coach, and
right.
this is all we did.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
for instance, just 2 weeks ago, Brian got set with a meeting with Norma Eastep, and she had to see me, even though I just met with her 2 weeks prior. But she had to see Brian, and she only has $600,000, and she's never going to have any more. But that appointment was set. And it, we have so far to go, but those are the people that brought us to the table, and it's bad karma to leave them behind. Rob, we've never, today we had a meeting with our top clients. We've never sent them an agenda in advance. They don't have a financial plan, and they told us they don't want one. And I don't think anyone here at this table thinks that they want to be contacted every month.
Yeah, she told me she does not.
Yeah.
Speak up, Betty. Who did?
Lisa.
Yeah. So Lisa, the matriarch of the $50 million family, has told Debbie she does not want to be contacted every month. I'm not bucking your system, Rob. I'm just...
And
I think we're only going to make headway if we're clear about where we are, our point A, and how far away that is from this invisible bridge. We're not even close to point B.
Well, okay. This is Laura. I think in our last meeting 2 weeks ago, Rob said this would be like a 2-year process.
Right. Okay.
This is not something I didn't expect it to happen, like immediately start eliminating our $100,000 clients, the ones that got you started in the business, but it was a multi-year process.
Right.
Is that right, Rob?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I don't tell you that. I mean, there's nothing that says crossing the invisible bridge is to reduce your practice down to a manageable size, but it doesn't mean get rid of all clients under your minimum. It just means that you don't want to take in clients that are below your minimum.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't even know if we're, I mean, I think everybody at the table, including Brian, is going, God, really? We're going to tell somebody with $950,000 to go away? Darlene, are you going to do that? No? You're not going to do it? So Darlene's not going to do it. And Darlene's the most, and neither will Laura. So we're at 40% of the crew is not going to be a stewardess on the first class plane.
Yeah.
But that's not what good. That's not my job. I mean, not being funny, but I don't need, you know, prospects. That would be up to you guys. I bring them on once we've agreed to become clients, so that's not my job to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if your demographics is only having $1 million.
That would be that's a good question for me, too. I mean, you know, I don't know what areas you've done things like that, but, you know, $1 million here is a lot different than $1 million in Florida. You know, California or
Florida.
New York and things like that. There's this
there's
a lot of millionaires here, but there's not as many here, so would we be shooting ourselves in the foot? You know, you look at just cost of living wise, $500,000 here is like having $1 million in LA. I don't know if that makes sense at all or if that's a factor in it.
No, I mean, no, you know, this is the art, these are the same objections. They're all really good ones, and I heard them in 1994.
Yes, you did.
Why do you think it was so hard to get Supernova started?
Yeah,
you know, because remember where I started it. I wasn't in Los Angeles or New York or Dallas or Miami. It was in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Well, they don't write me about the city, Indianapolis does.
Yeah, how different is, I mean,
it's the same. It looks the same.
But I mean, we can give great service to, we can't give great service. We're not doing 12-4-2. We're not doing 12 meetings a year, and we're not meeting with any clients 4 times a year.
No.
We're not giving 1-hour response and 24-hour resolution.
Right.
We can't do it with the, but are there 200 1-million?
I would go to dinner on that.
Huh?
I would go to dinner on that.
Okay, but are there 200 1-million plus clients in Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are cattle ranchers.
There are.
But we're so far from, I mean, I think that everyone can agree with what Rob said about this curious, and then you're interested,
mm-hmm.
right? And I do believe that if we believe something in our bones and we're enthusiastic about it, especially if we all come together and that is the right thing to do, we can sell anything to anybody.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're over here at the curiosity interest stage. I mean, Debbie, I don't know if you're ready to say, no, I know. We've heard that before, Lisa. Just give this a try. I'm going to send you the binder. We've got to do a few whole times. See, no one here is going there, Rob.
Not me.
But Lisa's a bad example.
You guys are funny.
But Rob, if we can get these 5 people on the bus, we can drive anywhere.
Well, you know, I'm getting a kick out of this because I, you know, most of the time I do these presentations and I spend a day with you going through this stuff. And then you finally, you know, are pretty convinced. And then, you know, I still have some backsliding to do. You know, some people that cheat, you know, hide clients up in the rafters. And
yeah, see, we do that too. Like Norma Eastep is special.
Everybody's special. Everybody's got the special clients, right? And then gradually we kind of come along, and some of those, obviously some are ready to go right away, and others are, it takes a little longer. I had one team, literally, I spent 12 weeks talking them into doing this. And finally they did it. After 12 weeks. I mean, they had to sign up for another, you know, we did it for them the next 9 months. We got them going, but they had to sign up for a whole nother session. So it did take them 3 years.
We'll probably need 3.
But they did it, you know, they did it in the end. It was great, you know, for me it was great. I had fun. I enjoyed the group because they were honest with me, and they, you know, they were good people, and just like you guys are. And I understand it. I mean, it's been the biggest challenge. The difference is it's the more is better world versus the world of, we're going to deliver an extraordinary client experience, but we can only do it to a limited number of people. So it's kind of, you know, it's just a different business. One better than the other. Here's the advantage of this one over the other model. The other model requires a lot of time and energy to the point where I had a guy come to me and say, Rob, you know, he was with Edward Jones. He said, I've studied every million-dollar producer at Edward Jones. I want to do $1 million. I called them all, every one of them, and talked to them, and they all said the same thing. Sure, yeah, you can do it. You need 1,000 accounts. And you want to do $2 million, you need 2,000 accounts. And he said, I checked on them, and each one of them had either been divorced or had a heart attack or both.
I believe that, yeah.
And he said, I don't really want that. So I read your book, and I want to talk about your way. Because it sounds like I can still do the million, but I don't have to have 1,000 accounts. I said, in fact, you really should only have 70 clients, and you can do 1 million. I said, how's that sound? And he said, that sounds a lot better. So, you know, in reality, you can do a compromise, but you can't do too much of a compromise because the greatest thing about Supernova is that it's simple. Simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. It's simple in the sense we only have one level of service. Other coaches you hire, I think we're the only ones that teach one level of service. Everybody else will be, you know, we'll talk to you about A clients and B clients and C clients and D clients and F clients and G clients. And you can't keep track of that. You have to hire a whole new person.
No, well, what happens is even the C clients get A-level service. Even Norma Eastep gets to come in here with her dog the day before where I'm going to meet with the $50 million family because she's a client.
Right. And that's right. And so there's a level of chaos that causes a level of stress that at a certain point in your life you no longer want. Now you may not be at that place, but you know, some people are. And so the question becomes, you know, at what point do you get to that point, and that's when you call me and say, we're pulling our hair out. Help us. Okay?
Yeah,
and that's where we can help. But if you guys are happy, I mean, I don't want to make you unhappy.
No, and I think that, you know, really, if you came in here, it's pretty serene, and it's, you know, it's not chaotic, but no one really knows, you know, what the priority is or whether we're going to, you know, we don't send agendas in advance. I think there's a big consensus with the team here that unless they're just a jerk, we got to retain them, and how do we do that? And then, you know, what, and I made the phone call, as I typically do, and it really was along the lines of how do we grow and improve from the great place that we're already at? I mean, where we are is a pretty good place. That's really what worries me the most, Rob, and everybody.
Right.
It's that our clients are every other advisor's starving advisor's best prospect. The people that are in here today probably get 5 calls a day for financial advisors or stockbrokers. How do we perform such that they're not going to leave?
Right.
You know, that's what worries me. And I don't know, but...
Well, we can do that. Here's what I would suggest you do. I mean, there's 2 ways to do this. One of them is to limit the number of... See, and I've never said to you, limit the number of clients that you have.
Right.
What I've said is limit the number of clients you have per financial advisor.
Right.
Okay? So, if you want to hire more financial advisors to serve clients that, you know, have a limited resource, that's a wonderful thing to do for the community, okay, and for those people. You won't make any money on it. It'll cost you time and energy because you got to supervise it. But, you know, God bless you for doing it. You can have 10 people serving that market.
Oh, no, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I mean, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, how do we do the right thing by the existing clients that we have? And, Darlene, I'd love for you to chime in here because I know you have strong feelings about this. And still give great service to new clients. I mean, I feel like Darlene is our service manager, and she's in charge of bringing clients on board and then sending, income checks out. And sometimes I feel like she's a little bit behind because we're being successful bringing clients on.
Right.
But Darlene also takes a lot of the phone calls right now from all these clients that we've had for 20 years, do you not?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to divvy that up and then start to get closer to the invisible bridge and jump over and say, no, this is the direction we're going.
I think it's a gradual process, though.
Just like we work with clients on behavior or finance,
mm-hmm.
now we're having to look at
financial advisor
behavior and how do we structure that to make it efficient.
Yeah. I think it's a gradual process we're going to work into and we'll figure it out. But, yeah.
One of the things, and I don't want to... I don't want to take over the agenda and tell where we're going to get to it, but what do we do that's different? And to me, what you've been talking about is a differentiator. Are we willing to do it? I know we're not currently doing it. Here's what we're going to do, Mr. Prospect. Every one of our clients has a full multi-generational financial plan. They don't, but about 60 or 70% of them do. And the way we're going to deliver that is 12 monthly contacts for quarterly reviews, two of them face-to-face. We are not doing that, and we never have. And then 1 hour response time and 24-hour resolution. I think Darlene does that for most people, but not always. I think if you say that with the enthusiasm and belief components that you went over before, you can get almost anybody that is, a target client. If they're at all dissatisfied with where they are, I think they would give that a shot, or you invite them to give them a shot, but I don't even think that we're there. And one of the areas where I don't know that I'm even going to be able to do it, because I also spend about half my time in Florida, just up the road from you in St. Pete Beach, and half the time here, is how am I going to deliver two face-to-face meetings when I'm not even face-to-face, I could sell my house in Florida, which I really don't want to do. But how do I pull my weight and what we've been doing is we've been doing video conferences, and can that be as good as, and a substitute? It's not as good as, but could that that work as a face-to-face?
You're just doing it here.
Yeah, here's the reality. You're going to be on vacation. You're going to be in Florida. Your team members are going to be on vacation. Your clients are going to be on vacation.
Right.
So
bring on.
You're going to have an emergency meeting. You're going to get sick. They're going to have an emergency meeting. They're going to get sick. Okay. But what this does is it sets up a process for regular client contact so that you don't feel guilty that you're not calling them. And they don't have anxiety because you're not calling them.
Well, that would be good.
Right, it's really good. It's really important. The reality is when you're on vacation, one of your teammates can do an administrative call or a regular call. Okay? So you don't have to do all the calls yourself. That's where the team part comes in. When you're in Florida, you can do the calls. Everything can be done electronically, and you just plug in like I do. I mean, I'm traveling. I do these calls from airports. I do them from hotel rooms. I do them from my car. I've got to fly out, coming up here, and I got to get to the airport by 9 o'clock, so I can do my 9 to 10 and then jump on an airplane at 11. We just do it. We just, and the folders make it nice because you just take the folder with you. And then you have it in front of you, you make notes, and with email and all the rest of it, it just works. But you have a process. The couple things that you can say is, okay, starting at this point, all right, we're either we're going to have a minimum. And one of the things we can do is reassign people to people that we trust so we don't feel bad about it. Either we're going to reassign them to people we trust or we're going to hire another person to handle them. But that's where your team has to decide. Do you want more team members to handle small accounts? Or do you want to set a minimum and then hand them to somebody else? You don't want
to have a chance to do a lot of the back office. I want to stick with these five people to go forward. But these five people, you know, it's a matter of who's going to be spending their time doing what, really. And then I don't know what to do. Let's kind of air this out. What do we do for whatever reason, and there may be some for Dennis, and there probably are some for Darlene, and I don't know yet for Laura, but probably on the 401k stuff. But I go back to like the Norma E-Step thing. Debbie, you can speak up here. Why did Brian have to be assigned to Norma? How does that...
Because
she asked
for you.
Okay. So there we go, Rob. She asked for Brian. This is where...
No, no.
We stop.
This comes back to a personal thing because you don't really care for Norma. And that, I mean, she's not your favorite person.
Well, hang on a minute.
And that's
she's got 600,000.
Yeah.
If she had 6 million, I would be happy
to
meet
her. Tomorrow we're meeting with Donna Sharp and you're like, oh, I'll be in on that meeting. Yeah, Donna Knight. You're like, oh, I'll be in on that meeting. Mm-hmm. Right now, Laura and I have it handled. But you didn't want to step away from it.
So how do we handle the clients that just have to see Dennis or have to see Brian? Do you not have
what if you're on vacation? What if you're sick? What happens?
I'd be fine.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
So you're sick a lot.
I don't know, Rob.
You're sick a lot. I'm kidding. This is a weaning process, okay?
Right.
It's a weaning process. I totally agree with that. Because what value can I really add to Norma? Really? Especially when I just talked to her about her. Oh, and she wanted to come in and meet with me 2 weeks after I just met with her to review her portfolio, and she said she just wants to review her portfolio. I'm going, there's nothing, there's not another word I have to say.
That's not 2 weeks. Is booked for the next 2 weeks, I can get you in 5.
But that puts Debbie in a bad spot, I think she feels like.
Right,
I don't know, Rob.
Okay,
this is a minor part of it, though.
But you guys have just got to get used. You know, at this stage of your business, you are a successful team, and it's very hard because you haven't said no.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now, like all adults, at some point, you've got to say no. And so you just have to get comfortable and be able to say no. I love you, but no. So it's how you do it. You know, it's kind of up to you, but getting to know is really important.
Okay. Well, how do we, I guess, we'll get our minimum set up and everything. I guess, what's the next step on how we get this rolling?
Right, and if you guys really don't want to have a million as a minimum, have it 750,000, but don't then accept 500,000.
Right.
Because you do have a minimum. I mean, your minimum isn't 50,000. Okay,
yeah,
so
I mean, right now to kind of let you know, I mean, I probably 2 to 3 times a week at least, I'll get. You know, I talk to the prospects when they call in. You know, I've talked to one the other day. They had 150. No, nope, not. You know, we have a minimum, 500,000, and then. Yeah, 250s, no, can't do it. You know, those, but when, I'll be really honest with you, if someone says I've got 800,000, I'll be like, oh, God. I have no problem telling someone with 250 or 300. If, I'm 60 years old, I've got 300,000, no, can't do it. Yeah, that would have been hard for me 10 years ago.
Sure. But this is just another step. See, it's another step in the progress and growing.
Right.
And so think to yourself, you know, we want to have, you know, it depends on how hard you guys want to work, but if you want to spend some time in Florida, then you can't even have 100 clients. Okay? So you really should have about 70 clients. And so that becomes the given reality. If you want to have, if you want to work nights and weekends and never take vacation, then you can have 200. But I don't think that's what you want.
Right.
In reality, the big, it's, you know, your book may not be like everybody's book, but, you know, it typically is 80-20 or 70-30. And so those are the people that you really don't want to lose. That 30% or that 20%. That's what you said it. If we lose either one of those two clients, we're in trouble. So what if you lost your top 20% of your clients?
We're just talking about take a pay cut for the same amount of work.
Yeah.
Right. So isn't that more important than that small client that you've got to say no to?
Yeah. So if we're going to keep, one of the things that I'm just like in the how are we going to execute. So if we divvy this up, we're going to have 70 apiece. We have too many clients, we've established that. We got 200 great clients, but we got 300 total clients. But if, no?
I went through, if you take out like your friends, our family members, children of clients kind of thing, we're about two, I'll go back where I was. We are at, we're at 226.
Okay. All I'm getting at is if we say, okay, Brian's going to be assigned and be responsible for the top 70 or 60. Dennis will be assigned and responsible for the next 70 or 60. We can do it together and on or whatever, but if one leaves, it's my fault if it's a top 70.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Then, Lori, you get the next 70, so that's 210, and then, Darlene, you get the next 70. But where I see that kind of breaking down the, and then what Debbie does is she coordinates and makes every person that walks in here feel good about being at a line or on the phone or whatever. Rob, that's how we all work.
Sure.
But for the target clients, which I heard as being 2 million and up, what we really want is we want Laura to be the very best, you know, financial planner with MoneyGuide Pro that they've ever seen. But if she's spending a lot of time on these third tranche of the clients that are worried about running out of money because they only have $210,000 left to their name and they're spending, you know, burning through it, or Darlene has a, and Darlene is the one that's responsible for getting their money out. You know, how do we have a crackerjack service manager in Darlene, but she's responsible for, I guess, tending to this bottom fourth, but, I mean.
But they're not calling a lot. I have a lot, and I have it pretty automated.
Let me ask you this. Here's kind of maybe why I hesitate, and I'll be, yeah, just kind of looking at things on setting the minimum too high for now, and you probably heard this one too. But if I
were,
like, Brian and I just took the top 120, yeah, we didn't even fill up our 70. That puts us at about half a million. Laura does the next 45, so she doesn't have a full 70. We're at 330,000. You know, and then I'm thinking, why would I turn away a 500,000 when Laura keeps her at 330? I'd rather take the 500 and drop to 330.
Yeah, so that's why this minimum is really important. Yeah. Because I don't want Laura, you taking on somebody that's 300 or 400 or even 500 when our, if we come to a minimum, whatever it is, let's say it's 750, and you're sitting there, helping these clients that are at 400, Rob. Laura, our quote junior advisor, if you will, is kind of responsible for them. I'm just getting all kind of confused because we don't have a call center to send them to. We're not with a wirehouse. This is it. There's five people. There's three CFPs. This is all we got. And it's all we want as far as the team.
Well, the will drop off.
Right. Yeah. As the higher ones, they age, you know, they'll fall off. And then if those, and then it's like, you know, the minimums
are going to go up, you'll be servicing, you know, $1 million to $2 million clients. And as they trickle down, the ones that aren't servicing will be $500,000, $600,000 clients.
That's exactly
so,
right.
So it's just a cycle, but as our minimums are adhered to and our clients grow, both at the bottom, through attrition, a lot of it will still just slowly go away. And we're not taking anybody under, you know, $750,000 anymore.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So
to be more on board with that than I thought. Do we, did Laura just start the game plan correctly?
Laura, do you want to teach this class?
Yeah. No, that's my understanding of it.
Yeah. All right.
That was excellent.
Yeah. That was to my part is none of us fill up our 70.
Huh.
We just take a smaller amount and then we can fill up to that and then start dropping ones off to the bottom mm-hmm. once we hit that.
And focus the financial planning on the top ones and yeah. not the smaller ones.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Right.
I will be the first contact for a lot of these smaller accounts. I'm not going to offer them financial planning. Unless we've already got them on a plan,
yeah.
but I'm not going to be offering that because that's not how we want to service. We want to service the ones at the top of the financial plan.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. You see it right. That was excellent. I think you got it more figured out than you think.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, let me ask you, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but what happens to somebody when you say, no, we don't take $250,000 accounts? Where do they go?
I send them, so here's the way I tell it to him is, I'll be honest with you, our minimum is right now $500,000, and that's really because, we feel that up until that point, you don't need an advisor. And if I was you, I would just go over to somewhere like Vanguard. And you need to focus on, keeping your costs low and just having, diversified low-cost portfolio. You can do that at Vanguard. I would just call them and do it on your own. And, yeah.
And if they really don't know what they're doing, where would you send them?
I don't know. I mean, I just...
Anything that really does what we do at lower minimum.
I mean, I've got one guy I know, but, someone like Kendall, I don't know what his minimum is, but... someone like that, I just tell them, don't go to, this is going to sound bad, but you don't need to go to like an Ed Jones or Merrill, they're just going to charge you. You can just go and buy a, however much, I kind of just tell them, if you want to put some stocks here, they've got, the U.S. market, sell international market. And
sometimes.
Yeah,
we don't really have a good trusted referral source at the bottom line. The Vanguard is in financial planning, as you know, so, they...
Well, you might just look around the market to see if there's a person that, does a good job but doesn't really want to grow, doesn't have a minimum, but is a trustworthy person.
I haven't thought about going to the Schwab office and just saying, hey, if we send them over, I mean, we use them as a custodian. If I send them over, who will take care of them and what would you do?
That might be good just to walk me through the process if I were to
send a
$300,000 prospect.
Right. And maybe get some goodwill. Yeah, maybe they'd send us something.
There's a Schwab office within 1 mile of us, Rob. That might be a decent solution, right?
Yeah. That might be a way.
I think it's a really good idea, guys.
Okay. I'll take charge of that then.
Yep.
Good one, yeah.
I mean, the economics of that versus hiring two more people, it just doesn't make any sense, right?
No.
Yeah. Okay, so we've made some great progress here. I feel really good. I hope. Do you feel good?
Yeah. Darlene, do you feel good?
Okay.
Did you hear that enthusiasm from Darlene, Rob? Not the enthusiasm level yet. Rob, I know you've got to go, but if you'll keep this in mind before our next call, this is Brian talking, as you probably figured out. I drug this incredible team through the unbelievably painful process of trying to do the Bill Good marketing system last year. I don't know if you know anything about that, but it's... It was hard. Everyone's laughing. Debbie's got a face that you wouldn't believe. I mean, so they're kind of going... Yeah, Brian, really? Another? And that's not the first time I've drugged this team through some weird training.
So. You're not putting me in that category, are you?
Yeah.
Well, no, Rob, I kind of am, though, because, they don't know Rob Knapp. They read the book and it makes sense, but, it's Brian who doesn't have a lot of credibility saying,
hey man, I've got another coaching thing and it's going to be cool. And so I think there's some skepticism.
Well, I will say though that before we did Bill Good, everyone else said Supernova was maybe the way to tackle it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're more on board.
Yeah.
Okay,
good. Oh, good.
Next week then?
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so homework.
Yeah.
You need to call Cindy Bowie, or I'll have Cindy call you and get the scheduler so that you understand how to do that. So it takes, you know, 45 minutes. Anybody involved in any administration should be on that call. And that will, it makes life so much easier. You should know how to build the folders, and Cindy can help you with that. It's in the book. I mean, it's in the workbook also. Chapter 14 is a supplemental chapter in your workbook that has a lot of scripts and information about what's in each chapter and things like that. You should order your folders. You can order them through us. We don't make anything on it. We just facilitate it. Or you can order them directly. I think we're cheaper than if you buy them direct, because we buy them wholesale. What else? And when you've kind of got your pitch down, then try Supernova out on somebody that you're confident will, you know, they listen to them pretty much. They trust you is the point. And you tell them what you're doing. You hired a consultant. This is what you're doing. And you want to work with them on this. And this is going to be, you know, and I always tell them, you know, it isn't Tuesday at 3 o'clock. It's, you know, what day works best for you. My office hours are these for calls. And then you tell them, so it could be Tuesday at 2 or Wednesday at 4. So you give them that kind of. And they say, well, those days is good. How about Thursday? And you say, okay, I can do Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning. So you're giving, and you want to give your first options to your best clients.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So practice the script. If you're not going to try it on a client, at least try it on each other so you get comfortable with the script. I don't see anything that you guys have said that makes you ineligible for Supernova. I just think you guys, you know, everybody is so fun for me because, you know, I manage the Midwest. I ran the Midwest district, which it doesn't seem to, you know, it included North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Indiana, Missouri, Kentucky, Kansas, Oklahoma, you know, all the way, everywhere. I had 14 states. So I had every small town in America. And so don't worry, Supernova works. It's just your minimums.
Yeah.
You know, you create your own minimums in your market. So, you know, make your minimums what you think is your market and how you want to grow. But Oklahoma City has plenty of people with a lot of money.
Yeah.
Don't kid yourself. I know that market. It's a good market.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll do fine. Yeah. So that's your homework. Do the folders, the scheduler, and then try the script. Try it on yourself. Try it on clients. Just so you can get comfortable. That's the most important thing.
Which script are you talking about? Not to be dense here.
Well, the script, basically, you pick a script. It's a simple script of, you know, the good news is we've been very successful, and thank you, good part to the faith that the people in our community have had in us. The challenge is that we've grown, and with that growth, we're concerned that the level of service isn't where it should be. So what we've done is hired a consultant, came in and looked at our practice, and what we've decided to do is this. We're going to increase the level of service and make it more consistent. And the purpose of that is to give us a chance to spend more time with you and with our best clients and really help them to understand us and for us to understand them. So when we do a multi-generational planning, which we plan on doing for each of our best clients, we'll be delivering 12 scheduled appointments. Four of them will be reviews of the financial plan, and two of them will be in person. And then we set up a rapid response team, so we're delivering 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution to any and all problems, and if we can't do that, we'll let you know and follow up and make sure you know when it's completed. How does that sound? You'll say, am I one of your clients? Yes. Okay. How much more is it going to cost? And you'll say, no, it's included in the fee. Or you say to them, I'm sorry, but at this point, the fee we think that we're going to be charging is going to be more than what we think you should pay. And we think that you can, work with these people that, we'll talk about how to reassign. We're not at that point yet.
Right.
But you should do the retention ones at this point. That's an easy sell. People love it, and more attention is better from their point of view. As long as they don't have to pay anymore, they're going to be very happy. But this is the kind of level of service where you can keep a $50 million client. And if you don't give this kind of service, I've got a client that has, she's got 25 clients, okay? And she does 24-4-2. Okay, so she calls them every other week.
Ugh, wow. What the heck does she talk about?
Well, these people have got, minimum account size is 20 million.
There's always something.
Anything they want to talk about.
Yeah. My nanny has got problems with the,
No, that's right. It's my son wants to get into Princeton. Who do you know?
All right.
So it's more like, it becomes more like a family office group. And so, you can use we all would love to have a concierge practice. We'd all like to have a family office group. We'd all love to be able to deliver that kind of service to every one of our clients. So we're going to do something. We're going to modify that. The great thing about Supernova is that it moves easily between ultra-high net worth and reasonable people that have got conservative values, don't need to fly first class, but they've got money, and they want a little bit of respect. Okay?
Yeah.
And they like you to know that, they want you to be good to them. They're not just anybody. So you want to give them the respect that they have earned. And this gives them the respect to me that a personal relationship, they deserve a personal relationship. So, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much.
And remember, every time we talk, everything that we say is recorded, so you can play, just for you guys, it's all confidential, you need a password to get on the website and all that. But it's, that is recorded for you, so you can play it over and over. If you like something that, that somebody said on the call, you want to hear it again, you can play it over and over and over. Plus, there is a script in the book. But I like the script that focuses on the client, not on us. Not that we've gotten too busy. More of, we really want to deliver a very high level of service, and we're concerned that we're not going to be able to deliver that to the number of clients that we've been blessed to get. So we need to focus.
All right.
Every business goes through the same thing. Every business person understands the 80-20 rule. Every CPA, attorney, everybody would love to do this. But most of them don't have the courage. And so, bless you for having the courage to do this, because it will make your life better. You'll have better balance. And the level of service you deliver to your clients will be second to none.
Cool.
Okay?
Thank you.
Good, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.